China has the economy that's growing, and why pharmacy technician is a skill to have now. I'm David Brancaccio. First, here's what happens to an economy in a country that contains the coronavirus. There is news today. China's economy grew 4.9% in its last quarter, a bit more slowly than expected, but still the only major world economy on track to grow this year. Here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak.
Chinese officials have been criticized for not stopping the spread of the COVID-19 virus sooner. But once they did act, the shutdown was near total. In the worst-hit city of Wuhan, residents there weren't allowed to step outside of their front doors for weeks. Even in areas not heavily affected by the coronavirus, village officials ripped up roads to stop cars from leaving. Workers were furloughed or had salaries cut. They lived off their big savings until the second quarter when they were allowed back to work. Today, people in China are back out eating, traveling, and shopping. Retail sales in September went up 3.3%. Now, the coronavirus still poses a threat. That's why China's government tracks its citizens through cell phones. The smallest outbreaks can trigger citywide lockdowns for weeks and mass testing, measures that won't be easily replicated by countries like the U.S. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
There's been a computer problem on European stock markets with trading through the Euronext markets halted this morning. Paris, Amsterdam, Brussels, Lisbon, Oslo. They're supposed to have just rebooted, it looks like. Right about now, London's all right, but the FTSE index is down 0.2% there. Here, the S&P future is up 0.8%. An update on new federal pandemic relief money. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has set tomorrow, Tuesday, as a deadline if there's to be stimulus passed before Election Day. She spoke of, quote, encouraging news, yet more work to be done. Now to cuts during this pandemic at big college athletic departments. Stanford's canceling 11 varsity sports. Men's track is ending at 9 Division I schools. From Austin Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on how this is playing out for Texas Longhorns, among others.
The University of Texas Athletics Department generated a record $224 million last fiscal year, more than any other college or university. Almost all of that money comes from ticket sales, concessions, and TV contracts associated with football and men's basketball.
So those revenue streams are huge.
David Berry teaches sports economics at Southern Utah University. He says, yes, football and basketball help pay for lacrosse, gymnastics, and tennis. But for the most part, football and basketball revenues go to football and basketball.
They primarily go in the pockets of coaches, administrators, and then to facilities.
Longhorn home football games are being played in front of only a 25% capacity crowd. UT hasn't said how much money it's going to lose as a result, but in 2018, ticket sales alone brought in $67 million. So now, UT's athletics department is trimming back. It laid off 35 people and said another 35 vacant positions would be eliminated. Even the football coach is taking a 15% pay cut. All in all, Texas cut about 6% from its sports programs. That's about the same percentage Ryan Ivey had to cut from his athletics department at Stephen F. Austin University in East Texas. But his books look a little different.
Yeah, so our total budget is right at $16 million.
He hasn't laid off or furloughed anybody yet, but he can't fill open positions.
So essentially, if we want those positions, then we have to buy them back in some form or fashion. So we have to figure out the budget aspect for that for us moving forward.
Stephen F. Austin's fall conference football games were postponed until the spring, but Ivy found out-of-conference schools to play. That's generating some helpful income. And across the country, other colleges and universities are doing the same thing, trying to protect their budgets. That could put student-athletes in harm's way, says Michael Butterworth, director of the Center for Sports, Communication, and Media at UT.
There are a lot of institutions that appear to be making decisions motivated specifically by money. And when you're counterbalancing that with the public health risk and the risk to the athletes who are shouldering that risk and that burden, that's really uncomfortable.
He says if a spike in infections could be tied back to an athletic event, there could be legal implications for universities as well. In Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And yes, on display in a Pittsburgh science museum is a robot pharmacy technician, which could be a hint about the future. Now, that said, here in 2020 land, there's news CVS wants to hire 15,000 humans now, most of them full or part-time licensed pharmacy technicians. This to help with the expected COVID and flu crush this fall and winter. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.